Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice man, John Lopez. I'm Reginald Latitula. That's Figgy Fig. We're hanging out on a Tuesday in the loop. Rockets, man, they've done some big things acquiring Kevin Durant over the weekend. But what still stands in the Rockets' way? 713-572-4610. Because, I mean, look, this isn't a finished product yet, right? Like, they still, even if you're just looking at it as they're largely good, they have 12 guys on the roster. They do need to fill it out on the back end at the very least. And that's where, you know, I was in the break getting into mm-hmm. the nitty gritty of trying to recertify myself as a NBA CBA expert, looking at MLEs.
Did you get certification?
No, I'm very far from that. I definitely don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I mean, look, digging into the MLE, which is $14 million that you have available to you, the ways that you can split that up, how you can maybe utilize that to go sign some more players. But where are you? Like, what still do you think that the Rockets need? What still stands in their way for them to go and do the things that they need to do this year?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, just to recap, you know, what we've been talking about, you and Figgy for the last couple of days, like, what, you know, the trade itself immediately puts you at the upper echelon of the NBA, much less the Western Conference. I mean, they're right there. They're second favorites to win the championship next year.
There's one thing about odds. Do you think the Rockets, at least largely how they're formed, and mm-hmm. maybe this is not the question to ask right now, maybe we ask it in, I don't know, a week once you have the draft done, mm-hmm. which is happening tomorrow, and then free agency opens up, because that's still a big thing. Teams need to restructure. But do you see the Rockets as the best, having the best chance to dethrone the Thunder right now? Because, I mean, there's still teams that have a lot of blood and sweat mm-hmm. into this, that people can look at and say, hey, no, they might have a shot at it. Do you feel like the Rockets have usurped them?
I think right now, but there's still a ways to go. Because that's part of the reason I was like, okay, so we think they're there, but what would make you feel a little better, so to speak, about it? Because, look, the Nuggets still have Jokic. The Lakers are going to
not. And Aaron Gordon.
The Lakers are not going to just, you know, sit there, especially with, you know, new ownership and everything else.
Yeah.
Just going to sit there with, you know, twiddling their thumbs thinking we good. Minnesota's going to get some stuff done. San Antonio's going to get some stuff done. We were just talking about Kristaps is the next one on the block for the Celtics. You asked me who are some teams that are mentioned with Kristaps. I just looked. San Antonio's one. So, like, you know, San Antonio's one. Mentioned with
they just gonna have just a whole
trying
bunch
to get a bunch of 7-footers,
they're gonna
bunch
have of four 7-footers up there.
That they were shoot. Like, clearly the Oklahoma City Thunder. The reason why they won is they had two centers. So let's do this.
Let's do four. Let's do.
They already got a 7'5" point guard. Yeah. What else do you want?
Yes, they got that and more. So that's kind of like, all right, we think they're there, but you know, it's a long way till October.
Can I start here?
Yeah.
Like, what did you lose in trading away Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks?
Glad
let's start
asked.
There. Like, let's start with what, because I think that there's some things that you didn't get back, obviously, mm-hmm. in just Kevin Durant himself within this. Now, I don't know how major you want to term them as, but I do think that there are some things that you did lose in this trade that maybe that's where you start looking at how do we, you know, cobble back some of those pieces or address some of those things
yeah.
that you have.
I'm glad you asked, because I was kind of kidding around with you guys, kind of. When the trade went down and we were texting with each other in that group known as Den Boys on Wessie.
Because I called him Bari. Is this what you're talking about?
Well, there's that too. Bari.
Well, it's because I said Tari and Bari. It rhymes. But y'all know who I'm talking about. It's Jabari Smith Jr.
I gotta confess, man. I did not know who you started at first.
Reggie
and then
was
I thought
so
it took me a minute. I'm like, okay, Bari. Okay, I got
I'm
it.
Not the first one to do this.
You're one of few. It took me two minutes.
The thing is, I think that's the first time I've seen it spelt like that.
In writing.
Or in writing.
First time I've
because
seen
I hear
it,
people
yeah.
say Bari all the time.
Yeah.
But when it said Tari and Bari, I'm like, Bari?
Jerks. Who's Bari? But that's neither here nor there. Well, it's kind of here. Anyway.
The law firm of Tari and Bari.
So, and one of the things I was kidding about was I'm just going to love hearing from all those Rockets fans like, oh, Kevin Durant's too old. Oh, he's been injured too much. and all of a sudden they're going to be like, hey, Kevin Durant. Change their tune real quick. You know what I mean?
Hey, if they could change their tune with Russell Westbrook when he got traded here, they could change it with anybody.
But that's not what I want to talk about here. I just thought that was kind of going to be funny, and I'm sure it is. But Dylan Brooks was a pretty integral piece defensively. We know that. But let's get to a little more specifics, because this is little stuff. You know, you'd rather have Kevin Durant and a chance to win a championship, you know, than not. But Dylan Brooks disrupted pick and rolls. He did a great job.
Oh, you going real X's and O's? I like this. No, let me sit up.
Let's talk about perimeter.
Yeah.
Not only did he do that, but he was a good defender, and he let a man sort of have the second go. The second guy. You know, well, that's going to change a little bit. Not that he can't do it. We know how good he is defensively. That's going to change a little bit. And if you have him up top, clearly Kevin Durant, and you know, you want to get into the weeds, let's get into the weeds. Clearly Kevin Durant is a great weak side defender, great off ball defender. Mm-hmm. He can come in and help block shots, et cetera. But that still means the opposition is going to be penetrating with a little bit more ease. You know, they're going to be in the lane a little bit more. Now,
if he's being drawn up to to be a primary perimeter defender at times, which I think that.
No, I'm saying even if he's not, you know, simply because there's going to be more opportunity in the lane because there's one fewer, you know, big time defender. Now, this is a great defender, a great defensive team, but there's one fewer defender on the perimeter that you can count on, especially now. And this is the other part of it, when Reed Shepard's on the floor.
Okay. I'm actually. And maybe this is copium. You let me know, because I feel like you're on the outside. You're on the other side of the rose-colored glasses that might be on right now. With the starting lineup that we've seen proposed out there, Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün. I think Jabari has to step up and be a little bit more of a perimeter defender.
Absolutely.
But maybe in circumstances where you're trying to finagle it in situations, you're trying to you know match up. I think Tari Eason is the guy that they're anticipating stepping up into that role of really good pick and roll defense and like adding that additional element where, I mean, I know you were talking about Dylan Brooks as like a primary, taking that primary, that primary responsibility. He had an ability to kind of guard up sometimes and guard probably about, you know, anywhere from one to four at times.
Yeah.
I think you have Amen Thompson who can do that. And then you have Tari Eason that you probably feel good guarding like maybe, you know, one to three, and then Jabari could probably guard three to four or five.
My point is everybody's stepping up.
I think Jabari and Tari, which I think as part of the benefit of this, have more space to do that. And now the responsibility on the other side of that is now you have to pick those things up. So I don't think you're losing that nearly as much. You just have to be diligent from a coaching perspective of putting Tari and Bari in that space to do that. The thing that I do think, and I've seen people mention this, if you want to get a little nebulous, toughness is one of those things that I want to speak to, because obviously Dylan Brooks very much viewed himself as the villain and get into those spaces to the point where I think he did it a little bit much. And Ime was also somebody that did this, so I kind of like that you pulled that back. But that constant physicality that Dylan brought, he was a catalyst in that way. Where do you think they get that from? Because I think Amen does some of that, but KD isn't that. Alperen isn't that. I don't know. Fred is some of that in a way that I don't think we give him enough credit for. But is that also Tari and Bari that are going to have to bring that?
We asked the question, and what still stands in their way? And I think that's part of it. Everybody's role is going to have to elevate to a higher level. With Amen stepping up, you know, Jabari Smith stepping up, Tari Eason stepping up to a different role. And so that's what I'm saying. That's one of the things that still stands in their way. Implementing that. Confidence in Ime Udoka, but for those guys having to step up, and then you have the backside defense that's going to be more help defense. So that's one thing that I think they have to address. I think another thing is Reed Shepard clearly is going to play more minutes. What did he play, 16, 15, something like that? It's going to have to be in the 20s, and he is going to be in the 20s. You know, there are limitations. There are limitations with Reed Shepard on the floor.
I feel much better with his particular types of limitations when he's playing point guard. The problem was in rookie year, it didn't feel like you could play him as the out-and-out point guard. Mm-hmm. So he had to play alongside Fred VanVleet, which means you had two small guys that could be picked on. I think what they're going to be committed to is that Reed Shepard is your backup point guard. So when he's out there, he will be your one, and maybe then you can have a, you know, depending on how you're doing your minute split, is it him along with a man on the floor at the time, or is Tari Eason on the floor maybe playing that two? Or, you know, who do you have out there? But I feel like it gets a lot easier if he's just the one and there's only one guy to pick on. Because even when he's picked on, he is pretty smart in using his hands, you know, kind of poking the ball out, being, you know, kind of just smart with what his size is. And if it's not two of them that can be overpowered, if it's just him out there, I think the defense is neutralized in some way. And it just becomes important for Reed to be the guy that knows when to get his shot and when to dish to other people and do that at an efficient level, which is, of course, still a step up for him at some point. But I think that it's within his realm of possibility.
No, I think it's within the realm of possibility on all these fronts. But as I mentioned, not only are you going to have other guys stepping up, then you're going to have Reed Sheppard on the floor. And there's a little bit of a hope that you have there with him. And then there's this, which is just the reality. You know, Kevin Durant's going to miss probably 20 games.
It's possible. It's quite possible.
He's missed 20 games three of the last 4 years, at least. Mm-hmm. Whether it's just slight injury, you know, you're limiting his time on the floor.
He played 78 a couple years ago.
He played 78 a couple of years ago and hadn't played more than 62.
And last year he played 62.
He played 55, I believe, the year before that. So he's going to miss about 20 games. So you have to. That's another thing that you have to overcome. How are you going to play when he's on the bench for damn near, you know, a quarter of your season? So it's not like. Clearly, let's be very clear. You want him. You're better because of him. But these are all things that you're still going to have to overcome.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where, you know, again, Jabari mm-hmm. Smith Jr. is going to have to be a level of growth as well in order to give you more offense in the instances where, mm-hmm. you know, if Kevin Durant misses an extended period of time, he's going to have to grow into some of that. And that's also where seeing Reed or maybe even seeing Cam have their opportunities mm-hmm. to be more of a go-get-it offensive kind of opportunity, which is part of the growth and development that you're hoping to see from this roster mm-hmm. overall. And it's why it can't just be you drop into Kevin Durant to be the offense. It is he can be an offensive catalyst that helps
yeah.
the rest of these guys find an offense and help the coaching staff find an offense that can also be sustain itself with the added oomph of KD coming in and just being an incredible jump shooter and a dude that gets to his spots and so on and so forth.
And who has to make the biggest leap with the backdrop of what we just talked about with the defense, everybody stepping up, with Reed Sheppard and with Kevin Durant missing games, who has to take the biggest leap up? Who has to take the biggest step? Because in order to win games without Kevin Durant, in order to be better on the defensive side, and in order to mitigate, you know, any other, you know, shortcomings, for lack of a better way to put it, that you might have. I mean, it's a man, right?
A man, I think, shooting-wise, because this is one of the things I think yeah. you lost. I forgot to come back to this. Dylan Brooks mm-hmm. was one of, if not your best, like jump, like spot up shooters that helped you space.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Kevin Durant is a great 3-point shooter, but he's not, he's going to space in a way because of the gravity of teams guarding him, but he's not going to get as many open shots mm-hmm. per se. And so who are the guys that are going to maybe give you some shooting to help you continue to add spacing? I mean, Reed Sheppard is one of those guys, but I already talked about, I think he's going to be more on ball. Maybe in some instances, periodically, you'll have him slide in as mm-hmm. a spot-up shooter in particular lineups. But I think that this is where Jabari Smith Jr. is going to have to find the Auburn Barry.
I was
going to
say Jabari, too.
But maybe that's another guy that also isn't on the team. I know there's someone on the text line who absolutely loves the idea of bringing in Quentin Grimes, although I think they're thinking about him as being a ball handler. I wouldn't want that. But as another dude who adds a shooter, I think that could be some. I think that's one of the things that you are still missing is you still haven't done a great anything much for adding the shooting that you need around an offense for this team because this team was still woeful shooting wise. The other thing is also penetration, dribble penetration. Jalen Green was the yeah. guy who did that. Yeah. You still don't have a lot of that. Amen Thompson, you think, but I think he's better.
He's more just slash
as a slasher and cutter,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Who is the guy that you have that will dribble penetrate?
Well, that's part of the question.
Right
who's going to step? Who needs to take the biggest leap? I think Jabari is one. Now, I don't know about
Jabari dribble penetrate?
No, I was going to say, I don't know about dribble drive.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about stepping up.
Yes.
You know, to an altogether different level. Can Reed Sheppard be that?
That's another thing that yeah. he's going to – he's done enough of it. Like, I vividly still mm-hmm. remember watching him in summer league last year and going, mm-hmm. oh, wow, there's more stuff in here.
Yeah.
Especially on ball that I had not properly given credit to. I think he has some of it. I don't know if, mm-hmm. especially a guy that you're looking at being at best six man kind of thing
yeah.
is the guy that you start looking for that in. And are they going to be a team that maybe just isn't a dribble drive type team, or is that just mm-hmm. going to be another development for Amen Thompson? But I still, all of those things with him on ball, I feel like the lack of shooting kind of hampers it because teams can drop, teams can go under, mm-hmm. teams can be like, hey, you have a runway, but we're not allowing you to get to the rim easily. So those are the things I'm still looking at
yeah.
as things that can hold the Rockets back internally without even talking about the external, whether those things outside that stand between the Rockets and their goals. But internally, those are things I'm looking at that they need to address. I don't think they will in the draft, but once free agency opens up, I think that those are things that they're still looking at, trying to fill some level of answers with. And yes, Killer Cam, Cam Whitmore is one of those guys that serves as potential answer to any of these. Mm-hmm. But I'll ask you, just like I asked Luke Morrow, how comfortable do you feel like him sliding into the rotation for this team is? Because if in theory you could see it, but it felt like the reason why he didn't play last year was not because he couldn't help, was because it felt like Ime Udoka did not, did not, or he I don't know what the right way of saying this is, but Cam Whitmore did not fit what Ime, the criteria Ime had for his guys getting onto the floor.
Yeah, Cam Whitmore has been mentioned a lot, and I'm with you. I'm not exactly sure. Boy, he has a long way to go. I don't know if he needs to take the biggest jump, but he's got a long way to go to be able to be that guy.
And it's, you know? it's not not the on-court stuff.
No.
Cam can drive. Cam can shoot for sure. Defense is something that needs to work. But, like, it feels like he needs to be on the same page mentally with Ime and what this 100%, team is doing.
100%.
And it's weird because that feels like a bigger gap than those other things, even though I think those other things, physical gaps, are actually way bigger than Cam's space. And maybe that's unfair for me to say that, but Cam getting in the right mindset with Ime and them getting on the same page, at least from my perception, that could go a long way in helping you answer some of these as well.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next is about the time where we do our lunchtime confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic. I kind of want to hear what confessions the OG has been harboring up from the weekend on the water. We'll see what he has next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, so you guys remember why I decided Friday, rather late in the game, admittedly, to take yesterday off? Do you remember what the reason I gave?
Yeah.
And that was?
You said because we took Juneteenth off.
No.
So you wanted to pay us back.
That sounds right.
I wanted Monday to take off. The real Juneteenth off, Monday. The day that it should be.
What kind of conspiracy theory is this? The real Juneteenth off?
Per John Lopez.
No, remember.
Well, you did live back in 1865 now, so that makes sense.
No, the reason I gave was because I had an event I had to go to in Corpus Christi, and it was Sunday, and, you know, no reason to drive back late Sunday. Just get here early Monday and you know, whatever, piddle around the house, take the day off, be ready for today's show. Well, as it turned out, and it wasn't my fault, first of all. It wasn't my fault. As it turned out, I did do that. I did spend the night there Sunday. But my son decided to come down Sunday night, my middle son, BG.
Your favorite.
That's arguable. And said, hey, you want to go fishing in the morning?
Who could say no to a son? When a son asks a father, who could say no?
I was planning on just getting up early and driving back.
Your favorite son.
Right.
You're going to turn your favorite son down.
Like maybe the ugly redheaded stepchild, but not your favorite son.
So I did get here earlier than I would have Sunday, but it was still pushing 5 o'clock because we ended up going fishing Sunday morning. So, hey, best laid plans, you know, sometime. But at least I did get some good rest. So.
Look at these excuses. Who are you trying to convince? Like, you made that a whole confession.
Hey, you want to go fishing tomorrow? You know what? Let's go.
Watch. We're going to find out that the part of the story he didn't tell us was the day before he was like, hey, BG, I need you to ask me.
To ask me something.
Sounds like Lopez is appropriating Juneteenth for his benefit. That's right. There's a lot of people appropriating Juneteenth for their benefit, but you know what I think? I believe that you shouldn't look get a gift day off in the mouth, right?
Yeah.
A day off is a day off.
That's how I did justify it. I was like, well, I mean, I'll still get there relatively early and get some rest. Slept good last night.
I bet you did.
Just got a little fishing and sun in.
That's right.
That's all.
Did you remember? Never mind. Now that we're another day away from it, I know people were rooting for the Pacers and the ways that they had played, and I really enjoyed the style of basketball that they had and the story that they had. I was happy Oklahoma City won the NBA championship.
Really? A lot of people were not.
I was happy.
Why were you?
Thank you for asking. I don't need regular season dominance devalued anymore. That's a 68-win regular season team. And to be fair, right, since the turn of the calendar, the Pacers were on that same type of pace. They were really good, but I will never forget the 73 win, 73 and 9 win.
73-9
That's right. Warriors losing the championship, even though I kind of wanted the Cavs to win in that moment because I was being a hater, as I think we all are at sports at times. But what that did to basketball in particular, but I think a lot of sports, is just continued to devalue the regular season, which I don't think we need any more of in any of these sports where, oh, man, winning all these games the regular season doesn't matter. It matters if you win the championship. And now we were getting further and further from the idea of you playing really well in the regular season, me, you going to win a championship. And so I kind of needed that connection to stay. And Oklahoma City just dominated the regular season, and I really didn't need another bucket in the in that particular data set of team does really good in regular season and loses championship. I just don't want any more.
I kind of felt like it did a little bit of the opposite, though, because, I mean, at the beginning, we did have OKC probably going to the finals because they were so good. But at some point, we were kind of like, man, I don't know who going to win. Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, we were saying OKC. But shoot, probably about game three, we was just like, man, I don't know. Indiana can win this one.
Yeah.
So it did keep the suspense a little bit. But during that time where it was Cavs and Warriors, everybody knew it was going to be them two at the end.
Look, I see your point, Reggie, and I think it's valid. I also feel like, no, like what to Figgy's point, there's a certain amount of entertainment in the fact that it goes the other way.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much. You talk about the Warriors. People were glued to that. You know, so it can work both ways.
Yeah, and you're right. I think the entertainment was absolutely there, as evidenced by, and I'm going to be the weirdo who mentions that the ratings for the finals were, game seven at least, were the highest rated individual NBA playoff game since, I think, 2019. Was what they went for. Like, so the entertainment value was there. I don't know that the entertainment value, especially even comparing it to 2016, was worth the what I view as damage to the regular season overall. So I don't work for no TV. I don't work for the NBA. So what does it actually mean?
So has Adam Silver changed his mind yet on the ratings? Now they're good again?
I bet he did.
Hey, I
bet he
was like,
hey, guys,
I was
look.
Kidding.
See,
I was
look,
kidding
ratings.
About the ratings.
Look at the ratings.
Hey, he sent that mass email out and said, hey, look at the numbers, guys.
Look at the ratings.
Subject line, all caps, ratings.
Let's go.
3 exclamation points. Yeah.
Get out there and sell some stuff with these ratings.
They didn't matter 2 weeks ago, but they matter now.
That's how I go. Speaking of the NBA Finals, right now, OKC, they are holding a parade.
Mm-hmm.
A parade is actually going on.
Oh, is it?
Friends and family.
Yeah, I was looking at it.
I saw someone say that Oklahoma City, like downtown Oklahoma City, probably looked like a Kmart on a busy day.
Yeah, they getting a lot of jokes, to be honest, because to me, it don't look like it's totally empty, but it look weird, man. They got SGA out there on the grounds, and they got this big ass fence up with the people behind. Look like they in jail just chanting. I'm just like, man, this don't look appealing at all. That's my confession. It don't really look appealing. And I'm like, man, I'm so happy for them fans because they do have probably the best fans when it comes to home court advantage.
Yeah.
But looking at this parade, man, I'm just like, man.
I saw somebody tweet, dozens of people at the parade.
There's tens of us.
Yeah.
Tens of us.
Yeah, I'm over here. Everybody under the comments, I think NBA tweeted this out.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody in the comments kind of laughing at them. And this is my favorite comment. I never even thought of this. But they got SGA in here. They said, Maple Jordan.
I kind of hate that they do that with any Canadian. They are just Maple insert name here. Maple Mamba, Maple Jordan, any of them.
Hey, we can laugh, but I mean, it's Oklahoma City. What do you want?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's they're all out.
They're doing their best.
Yeah, they're doing their best.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I kind of don't want to see the Kyle Tucker and Ryan Presley video tribute Friday.
Oh,
why not?
Wow.
I think it's going to kind of make me feel like, I don't know, sad, lamenting. Generally, like, yeah, hey, you did it. You know, we appreciate you and all that. Man, these two dudes were badass, man. Yeah. These two dudes were so good for them. I mean, and plus, you know, they're going to show the final out of the 2022 World Series. Presley on the mound. Kyle Tucker catches the ball. I mean,
yeah,
I'm like, come on. I don't need to see this right now. Now, it would have been worse if the Astros weren't doing well. But there, so it'll be a little better. But sometimes you're like, it makes you feel really good and happy for them and all that. I think I might be a little bit like,
wait, but see. So what are the times that you feel good? Because this feels like
when
the
best they did Correa, you're like, cool, you're still rocking and rolling. Springer, you're still rocking and rolling. I don't know, something about this one, I'm like, what could have been?
I mean, if you're looking at Kyle Tucker, just look over to the opposite side, mm-hmm. look at Cam Smith, and be like,
I get it.
I feel better now.
I'm just telling you what my confession good call. Is. It makes me feel a little weird. A certain yeah. way as the kid.
How would
like
you feel say. When Bregman come back home?
That's an interesting one.
I'm yeah. curious because it seemed like every time you bring up Bregman, everybody's just like, oh, screw that guy and all that. Yeah. I wonder how people are really going to act.
You know, my gut is telling me it wouldn't be as bad as this. I guess because, you know, Isak and all that and Bregman was never, you know, you knew it was never going to happen, that he was never going to stay. But like something about Tucker and Presley. And I guess part of it, you know, being in that stadium when they won it, and it was, you know.
I feel like you knew that neither of those guys were going to stay more than the Bregman thing. At least we were.
Presley, you wondered a little bit, but it was kind of leaning
once
that
way. Once they brought in Hader.
No, I'm saying, but he pitched the whole season with Hader, you know.
That was ticket time bomb.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. I don't disagree, but right. I'm saying you kind of wondered, well, maybe, you know, they'll make it work or whatever. And then Tucker was just frustrated.
I think the Tucker part for me would be, you know, man, why they do him like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could have.
Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I think with the arbitrary and all that stuff mm-hmm. going, I'm like, man, come on, man. You could have paid him. And then with Presley, it's kind of like, man, damn, man, he was so good, and yeah. look at him now. It's kind of sad to see a little bit.
And our girl Perry is already texting. I already know I'll be crying. Like, it's just a different thing with those two. I kind of don't want to see it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I didn't realize that this is also kind of another NBA related one, but obviously Tyrese Haliburton had the Achilles injury. A lot of these, I think it was 8 last year, all the way across the NBA season. That's a lot, but it's not even like from there. This is where my particular confession comes from. The mythology of Achilles always annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're familiar,
the actual Achilles.
You're familiar with, like,
as in Greek mythology.
Yeah, the Greek mythology that gives us the name Achilles' heel is literally, which I'm trying to remember which Greek god it was that dipped Achilles into the river Styx, which gave him his imperviability or what have you. I think it was Thetis that dipped him in. And supposedly the weakness was in his Achilles here because that was where he was grabbed when he was dipped in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one part that was left, like, I guess, mortal.
Yeah.
But I was like, you couldn't dip him again?
Like, turned him upside down?
You know what I mean? Like, it was just the one dip. We only got one dip.
You only get one dip.
Like, why did that happen?
Like Dairy Queen.
What kind of plot hole is this?
Yeah.
Like, what a terrible plot hole. Yeah. Like, oh, and now this is the one place where now he could be hurt. And obviously, inevitably, he's going to get hurt there.
Yeah.
But I was just like, for some reason, this is where the way my dumb brain worked. I was thinking about all the Achilles tears and everything, and I was like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is so dumb.
Yeah.
Why did they write it like
that? Could have just, like, spun him.
Just spin him over. Or just drop him in, move him around a little bit, and then pick him up.
Speaking of which, just...
Or use tongs, you know, like something. Yes,
tongs. Side note, on the way home yesterday, I had a blizzard for the first time in probably 10 years. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a blizzard.
You want to hear something crazy?
It always amazes me when they turn it over for you. I'm like, that's so cool.
You want to hear something crazy? I had a blizzard last night.
Really?
Yeah, I had one, and the lady did not turn it over.
Oh,
and
man.
So when we drove up, I'm like, wait a minute. She's supposed to turn. She ain't turning it over.
Did you turn it over yourself?
I did myself, yeah.
But it still held up.
Yeah, it still held up.
My thought would have been, oh, she knew that this one wasn't
the one. This one wasn't going to take.
She knew this one wasn't the one, so she wasn't going to try it.
Now, I was nervous because I never did it on my own.
Yeah.
I kind of held my hand right there just in case. Did a little quick little turnaround. Like, all right, yep.
So weird. I haven't had a blizzard in 10 years at least. I'm I'm going to get one. I got their new whatever, strawberry, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she goes like that. That's one of the coolest little things in fast food.
Yeah.
Like, they just turn it over. Right,
I actually asked my wife, I'm like, why do they do that? And she said, that's what they're, no, that's just their thing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How thick it is. Is that the best
girth?
All right, then I'm done asking the question. Whatever
right.
I was going to ask.
All right, man. Yeah, let's get here. To the next segment.
It's summer, man. Yeah, he ruined it. Gas. Why, really, he
you
did.
You ruined it.
Just how did I ruin it?
I turned this car right back around.
I followed up your point.
Unbelievable. You said yep. Is that, that's
it's
a
Johnny's fault.
It really is. See, he been on the boat too long.
Yep.
Need to get back in the
work
mode.
I didn't get a lot of sun yesterday.
I guess so. Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are our lunchtime confessions. Coming up next, did we get confirmation of collusion in the NFL? I'll tell you what I mean next. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Did we get proof of collusion in the NFL? That is the question right now, because Pablo Torre, who is on a journalistic run,
boy, he is
right now, and on his podcast,
we might have to protect him at all costs.
He's on
man.
A heater.
He is. Sports journalism has taken to independent journalism. Of Meadowlark Media. He has his podcast. Pablo Torre finds out in his latest podcast. He collabed with what's Florio's first name?
Mike.
Okay, cool. I thought it was, but you know how sometimes you go to say someone's name and then it sounds wrong?
I always get him and Robert Flores mixed up for some reason.
Shout out to Roflo. Yeah. Houstonian in his own right.
Yeah, I always get them mixed up for some reason.
Mm-hmm. MLB Network now, right?
Roflo? Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Shout out to Roflo. But,
regular on the afternoons.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah. Make sure you keep it locked to Sports Radio 610 and Catch the Drive. Every once in a while, Robert Flores will pop up. But, I'm talking about Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joined with Pablo. And what they did was they got the documentation and the paperwork from the NFL's arbitration hearing with the National Football League's Players Association when it came to the NFLPA's allegations of collusion with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this particular charge was ruled in favor of the NFL against collusion. However, within the documentation, we had not gotten a chance to see this for a long time, and it had been hidden for a while. And neither the NFL nor the NFLPA were like willing to kind of disclose information from it. And Pablo was able to get into some of the reasons why. And so I have a little bit of audio from the podcast to give you some ideas, but it really pertains to, you know, the idea of a few different things. Like, there's three quarterbacks that were named when it comes to contracts and the collusion of not getting guaranteed money. There's Lamar Jackson and his deal that I think was probably the most obvious of them. There was Russell Wilson with the Broncos, and then there was Kyler Murray. Those were the three that happened there. And so I kind of wanted to point to some of those. And, of course, it all kind of has to deal with J.C. Treader, who at the time was the president of the NFLPA as a player, and it all kind of ties in there. But I did want to start here. Let me start with the Broncos. And this was one of the evidence that came out in kind of the discovery of litigating this was a text that the Broncos ownership sent about Russell Wilson, I believe. And this is cut two.
Part is the fact that the new co-owner of the Broncos, Walmart CEO Greg Penner, forwarded Denver's final contract offer to Russell Wilson to two of his fellow members of Broncos ownership with the following message, quote, "If we can get this done, Broncos general manager George Payton feels very good about it for us as a franchise and the benchmark it sets versus Watson for the rest of the league," end quote. And again, Mike, here is the Broncos ownership celebrating what's good for them, but also for their competitors. That's so clear to me in this expedited discovery.
That is not to me.
Okay.
That's not collusion. That's not collusion. What that is that's a guy sending, stating an opinion. And, you know, I generally, Players Association, I'm on your side. I get it. It's hard, all that stuff. Short careers. That's not collusion.
Well, I think
that's not because that's an owner saying, hey, this is going to be good for everybody else.
Right.
That's not sending it to everybody else. That's not saying that's why you're doing it. It's saying it will be good for everybody else.
Now, the additional context that's necessary is that this all comes from the January 2025 ruling. That is, I wanted to make sure that was clear. 55, 56 pages of this that was pointing to the management council that the NFL has. And it's funny because you would think with the NFL that owners make their own decisions. Why would you need a management council of owners But they have a management council that kind of sometimes suggests things to the league. And one of the things that they had in one of these meetings was a suggestion as it pertains to guaranteed contracts, mm-hmm. kind of suggesting that this is not somewhere that the league wants to go. Yeah. And so when you have that in the history, I believe that was owners meeting in March 22nd, where you know the commissioner encouraged those clubs to reduce guarantees in veterans' contracts. When you have that, where it's like, hey, guys, y'all should try and do this. Mm-hmm. And then you have on the back end, at least this one, and there's other ones that we could point to, but this one instance of, hey, a team and team owners talking in a way that shows that says, hey, look, we're basically complying with this thing that has been almost put down from the league. Mm-hmm. That would seem to point to it.
Well, the first part would be closer to collusion than that text to me, because that's them actually saying you probably want to do this, you know,
right?
Wink, wink. That to me would. And first of all, let me make it very clear. I do think there's collusion in the NFL. I mean, just in general, yes, there is. What I'm saying is when you're looking at these particular things, the first part might lean toward more collusion. But the second one, it's not collusion. It's an owner saying, hey, this is going to be good.
Well, I think the idea is that these are all points that point back to their spokes or their hubs or spokes on the hub.
Yeah.
That is the collusion kind of thing that comes back to that owner's meeting. This is another one. I thought that this was the one that was most clear to me. As it was happening, you remember when Lamar Jackson was trying to get his contract and he was looking to get a deal with the Baltimore Ravens. It felt like the Baltimore Ravens, you know, weren't able to get a deal. And then he requested a trade. Lamar did.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly wanted guaranteed money. And we saw a lot of owners jump up at the opportunity of saying that they did not want Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. This was what Pablo Torre was saying about that particular situation with Lamar.
Was that, quote, only a couple teams expressed interest to the Ravens before they chose to non-exclusively franchise tag him. Again, as NFL fans will recall. And that meant that the Ravens could still match any incoming offer Lamar Jackson received. But, quote, afterwards, no team reached out directly to Mr. Jackson, end quote. And Mike, you know, at the time, I remember thinking this. Now I continue to just wonder about it. No team reached out directly to Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP when he's on the block. Wow, what does it feel like to get a piece of information like that?
It felt like the encouragement to collude that was introduced in March of 2022 by the management council to the owners. It felt like a tangible example of what happens when collusion occurs.
That's obviously Mike Florio giving a little bit of giving a little bit of his opinion there. But yeah, I mean, that's. And
I mean, we all thought it at the time.
We did.
Yeah.
Now, I will say there was a fun anecdote that came from this documentation, which is that Lamar Jackson cited in this these hearings, a broken microphone on his phone which is what disallowed him and Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Ravens, from having as much communication in order to get a deal done.
Okay.
So I'm guessing you're not believing that that's what caused the level of.
Hey, you can get a new phone in 5 minutes. That's not a problem. But no, look, that one, and even his reporting is obviously good, but he's kind of just reporting what we all knew. It, you know, no teams were interested, and that just smacks of them colluding against it. So that one I'll buy, but it was really not a lot of meat on the bone per se. It's what we already knew.
This is literally all in the papers of this hearing that was had, where the arbitrator is noting all of this as well. Not only did these teams get out here and ultimately say that no, we did not want to sign him. On the front end, there was interest, but then once it was opportunity to actually go and have conversations, like not even actually try and get something done, have conversations with Lamar and
talking about it.
Did not even talk to him.
Yeah.
And I'll leave you with this final one, which let's see if this does anything for you, Lopez, in the case of collusion and I guess an impromptu court of Lopez here. This is text between owner Michael Bidwell of the Arizona Cardinals. When he is trying to get something done with Kyler Murray, obviously, he was also a dude that was looking for a fully guaranteed contract because he was the next one up immediately after Deshaun Watson. You remember him? after he got a guaranteed contract by the Cleveland Browns. This was a text that he sent to the Los Angeles Chargers owner, Dean Spanos.
Congratulations on signing Murray.
Thanks, Dino. These QB deals are expensive, but we limited the fully guaranteed money and have some pretty good language. Thankfully, We have a QB that's worth paying.
Your deal helps us for our quarterback next year.
I think many teams will be happy with it once they have a chance to review. Cleveland really screwed things up, but I was resolved to keep the guaranteed relatively, quote, low, unquote.
All right, is that and collusion?
You're still in that space where you don't feel like, because again, I think that in the individual, you can say that, hey, these are instances of just like, hey, we're happy that, you know, we're getting things that work well.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, the way that the NFL works is that these teams are all competitors. But you're seeing time and time again, along with this management council thing, mm-hmm. all these owners at least operating in a way to try and, you know, operate as if the teams are not the Cardinals versus the Chargers, but the teams are the owners versus the players.
Like just sort of, you know, you say court of Lopez. I can't say that's collusion. In my mind, in my heart, I know they collude. I don't think they do. I know they do. But when you just listen to that, one owner saying, we got him, we didn't have to do the guarantee. The other owner saying, that's going to help us. That is still not colluding. That's not saying, we did this so you could, or will you do this because we don't want to, guarantee. That would be collusion. This is just saying what happened.
It seemed like they know the phones are tapped.
They know the code.
Yeah, it seemed like they know they being wiretapped, mm-hmm. so they can't say too much.
Yeah.
But behind closed doors, they like, nah, we can't.
Exactly.
We got to stick together.
I think you're 100% right. Like anything I text, anything I say is going to have to be sort of the wink, wink. But by itself, it's not.
Yeah.
It's
like
not collusion.
If you in court and they point at that,
I couldn't say that's collusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where the arbitrator ultimately ruled in the NFL's favor. It feels like that's kind of the game, though. Unless NFL owners come out and fully say, this is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
They're not. I feel like the NFLPA is going to have a hard time proving it in one of these spaces. However, it is worth mentioning that the arbitrator, Christopher Droney, who actually, was the arbitrator in this circumstance, pretty clearly made it known that he viewed all of this as clear nonsense.
It's uncomfortable. It's toting the line.
Like there is
towing the line.
There's clearly some level of collusive, if I could use that, efforts happening here without it reaching the standard for him to arbitrate in that way.
Yeah.
Whether it's because he felt that or because, as an arbitrator, you are jointly appointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine if you rule in a certain way, there might be a place where you no longer have that job, which is an interesting circumstance as well.
But speaking totally objectively as someone, obviously I have my thoughts on collusion in the NFL, and I just told them to you. I think they do. But just objectively looking at this, I would feel the same way. I'd be like, I can't call this collusion, but it's towing the line. It's clearly wink, wink, speaking in code.
And this is why the NFL continues. Yeah. I think this is why the NFL and the structure that it has continues to kind of have the upper hand, is that they have all the power. And then with the way that the system has worked, it's hard to prove anything.
And they know how to play the game.
They do know how to play the game.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, and just to make it clear, he said that there's a clear preponderance of evidence that teams accepted and acted on encouragement of the management council. So that mm-hmm. would be what I was talking about there. The question that I think was asked that was fair is, well, the NFLPA had access to all these things and they could have leaked it, and they didn't until Pablo and Mike Florio went and found it. Mm-hmm. Why was it? Well, Pablo seemed to lay a story about J.C. Treader also having a circumstance of he was the president. They appointed a new executive director of the PA, mm-hmm. seemingly unilaterally without really going through the process of allowing the players to get in.
So he was a little bitter.
That ultimately allowed, once J.C. Treader was no longer a player and couldn't be president, eventually he became a special advisor in the PA.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of felt like a situation where Treader himself was trying to situate himself to be eventually the new executive director of the NFLPA. And for some reason, his personal interest of trying to kind of work his way into a level of power made him in a place where he did not feel, or he did not want to push all this information out that they gained for fear of exposing his self and his own machinations.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, that's kind of wild that the players had a guy at the top who felt like, he was doing good things and fighting for him, but ultimately did not allow more of this information about the ownership of the NFL that probably would help the players get some level of leverage that they mm-hmm. never have, because he personally had moved and shook in a way to try and get himself a little bit of power in the players.
He wanted to throw himself under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. Looking out for number one here, man.
Yeah. So It was a very interesting story all the way around when it comes to the NFL. But it's, like you said, it's stuff that we kind of know, but it's interesting to see more of how it works and the inner workings of it when it comes to the possibility of collusion when it comes to those labor negotiations in the NFL. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Speaking of the NFL, let's circle back around to this. NFL.com put together a list of the top 10 offenses projected-wise for the 2025 season. Are the Texans there, and what do we, you know, what, where do we see the Texans ranked when it comes to this upcoming season? We'll talk about it next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.